California's June primary is just days away, and one of the biggest questions is who will wind up on the November ballot opposite California Governor Jerry Brown. Our next guest hopes to occupy that slot. His name is Neil Kashkari, Republican gubernatorial candidate. Neil joins us now on Valley Edition. Neil, welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Your personal background is rather different from a lot of your Republican peers, both in this election and in past ones. In some cases, the same could also be said about your politics, especially on social issues. Do you think your campaign, if successful, signals a new era for the California GOP?
Well, I hope so. I'm hoping to rebuild and grow the California Republican Party. You know, we're down to 28% registered Republicans. And if we just get those 28%, we're not going to win another election, period. What I'm trying to do is reach out to every group across California and say, if you want to work hard, if you want your kids to get a good education, and you just want a good job and a fair chance to build a better life for yourself, then we're the party for you. And I think that those ideas, those principles can unite Californians, and we can really change the state based on them.
You're the son of Indian immigrants. Your personal background, as I mentioned, is rather different than a lot of Republicans. Your time in Washington with the Treasury Department is also well documented, running the Troubled Asset Relief Program at the end of the Bush administration, the start of the Obama administration. You were still a young man at that time. You're still a young man now. How did that process shape you as a leader, and what did you learn from being in the midst of that controversial program at a time of the nation's financial crisis?
Sure. You know, that was one of the worst times economically in our nation's history, literally since the Great Depression. But that experience taught me that you can get Republicans and Democrats to work together. We did it. We got both President Bush and then Senator Obama to work together. Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, the leaders of both parties came together, put their country before their political careers, and worked to stabilize the economy and also to protect the taxpayers. I'm proud that we got people to work together to tackle that crisis. And that's what makes me so optimistic that if we could get Republicans and Democrats to work together in Washington, we can get them to work together in Sacramento to rebuild the middle class.
Is that why you're running for governor? The thought of a Republican candidate winning office in this state and in an office like a governor is a challenging one, has to be a big task given the voter registration edge for Democrats and Governor Brown's lead in the polls. What makes you want to be California's next governor? And were you always drawn to pursue political office or leadership in some way?
You know, my interest in government service probably first began when I was a kid. My father did research on ending poverty around the world, and he actually received an award from President George Herbert Walker Bush. And I got to go to the White House when I was a kid to watch my father receive that award, and that really opened my eyes to what government service could be. And that's what led me to go to Washington ultimately many years later and serve in the Bush administration. Here's the thing. Our state is near the bottom, 47th for jobs. We're near the bottom, 46th for education, and we're number one in poverty. And Governor Brown's reelection slogan is the California comeback. Most families that I meet with don't know what he's talking about when he says California comeback. And I believe that someone like me needs to lead the fight to rebuild the middle class through a good education and a good job, putting people back to work. And if a guy like me, young, energized, a lot of experience in Washington, if I'm not willing to try to turn the state around, who's going to do it? And so I feel an obligation to do it.
If you just joined us on Valley Edition, we're talking with California Republican gubernatorial candidate Neil Kashkari. I want to talk about some specific issues now. The Central Valley has been plagued by chronic double-digit unemployment for literally decades, both under Democrats and Republicans in Sacramento. Why do you think that's the case, and how would your administration begin to change that?
Well, I think that part of it, you know, the ag sector is huge. The ag sector is 40% of Central Valley jobs. We've not been investing in water. So droughts are frequent. You know, we're having a drought right now. It's a terrible drought. This is not our first drought. Part of my plan is to cancel the high-speed train, take some of that money, and actually invest in more water storage so we have enough water to feed our farms. So that's part of it. Another thing is we need to transform our schools to make sure kids are getting a good education. I want to enable our parents and teachers to bring vocational training back into the schools. When I travel up and down the Central Valley, I hear about the lack of skilled labor, whether it's welders or machinists or other people to work in these really important jobs. So a lot of those jobs are going unfilled and unemployment is higher. Those are a couple big issues, as well as regulations that are out of control in Sacramento, which is making our ag community, our farm community, much less economically competitive. we need to reform regulations. That'll help small businesses. That'll also help our farmers. And that means it'll put Californians back to work.
You mentioned the plan for high-speed rail. You've called it the crazy train, saying it's too expensive. This is a huge issue here in the Valley. As you mentioned, many ag interests are strongly opposed. However, many in the cities, including your Republican colleague who's running for state controller, Fresno Mayor Ashley Swearingen, she remains a big supporter of the project. Supporters say it's a way to economically link the cities in the center of the state with the economic engines in the Bay Area and L.A. The price tag for this project keeps going up by another billion just a couple of weeks ago. But isn't that also an argument that if you don't build it now, it's only going to be more expensive later?
Well, look, I'm in favor of mass transit. I'm in favor of connecting our state. It's a question of priorities. Spending almost $70 billion on this train does not seem to me to be our highest priority for our finite resources. To me, if I had a choice of building more water storage so we can capture water in the rainy years when there's good snowpack to feed our not just our farms but our entire state in the drought years, that to me seems like a better use of our finite taxpayer dollars than building this train. And so I'm in favor of infrastructure, but we've got to be smart about it. And to me, water comes before the train.
Your opponent in the GOP primary, Tim Donnelly, is running a very populist campaign. He characterizes you as a country club Republican, saying he wants to bring more country to the party. People talk about your time with Goldman Sachs, with the TARP bailout program, and the issue of income inequality comes up. What's your message on income inequality in California and in the nation? You've been on a couple of different sides and seen different perspectives on this.
Yeah, you know, I grew up middle class. My parents were immigrants from India. My first job was bagging groceries. My next job was mowing lawns. I took out loans to go to graduate school. I've lived the American dream coming from a fairly modest background. I lived that dream because I got a good education. The root cause of income inequality in California and in our country is a failure of our education system. When we have a growing economy, people who get a good education, like me, are able to ride that economy up. But if you're stuck in a failing school, you're left behind and income inequality expands. So I am committed to addressing income inequality in California, but that's part of why I am so aggressively tackling education reform to make sure that every kid gets a good education. That's the only way we can lift people up, a good education and a good job.
What are your specific thoughts on education reform? Governor Brown is pursuing this local control funding formula, giving more autonomy on spending dollars to districts in areas that have high English learner percentages and high poverty rates. That's one thing that he's doing. What would your administration do along those lines?
Sure. It's been proven they're just pouring more money into a broken school system does not lead to better results, and Governor Brown is unwilling to make the big changes we need to make. I'm fundamentally changing the way we structure our schools by sending the money right to the school site so parents and teachers can decide how that money is spent. They can bring vocational training back into our schools, and they can decide how to educate our kids, and then we hold them accountable. You know, we spend more than $40 billion a year on K-12, and only about half of that money actually gets into the classroom. I'm going to change all that by putting the money where it's needed in the hands of parents and teachers and empowering them to decide how to educate our kids. You know, what school districts in Fresno need is going to be different than Palo Alto, is going to be different than Los Angeles. There's no way Sacramento can make those decisions. It needs to be made by the parents and teachers so they can meet the needs of our local kids.
What are your thoughts on the Common Core funding, a Common Core curriculum that is so controversial right now? A lot of folks in education are big backers of it, but many parents and others have big concerns about what this means as it's rolling out right now in our classrooms. Is this something that you support, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it really depends on how it's applied. My entire philosophy in education is that the parents and teachers need to decide how to educate our kids. And then there is a role for the state just to check, are the kids learning relative to kids around the country and around the world? And so to me, it's like when I was in high school, I took the SAT. The SAT did not dictate what my teachers taught me, but it was a way for colleges to check, am I on track relative to other kids around the country? So I think having some standard, whether it's Common Core or the California standard, is appropriate. But here's the thing. We're 46 out of 50 states today. We're not hitting the Common Core standard. We're not hitting the California standard. We're not even hitting the Martian standard. So having this big argument over Common Core today, it's like arguing where the three-point line is in a basketball game, and we can't even hit a free throw. I'm making big structural reforms in education, or I want to really change the schools, empower our teachers, empower our parents. Once we get up to top 10, then we can have that's the time to have a more vigorous debate about which set of standards. Right now, it's premature.
We saw a terrible tragedy this past week with the mass shooting near Santa Barbara. You're a gun owner. Most of your party is strongly opposed to new gun control measures. John Fleischman, who runs the influential conservative website Flash Report, wrote in response to these murders that, quote, the Second Amendment exists for a reason. Restricting gun ownership rights fundamentally changes the relationship between the people and our government. How do you see gun control and the Second Amendment coexisting in your view? And what about that role between the people and the government?
So as you said, I am a gun owner. I'm a long-term gun owner, and I deeply believe in the Second Amendment. I'm horrified by these tragedies, just like all you are, just like all of your listeners are. But if you just look at this one example, it shows you how tough this is. This is a mental health issue, and I take my gun ownership responsibilities extremely seriously. Adding more gun rules on me is not going to prevent these terrible tragedies. And so we need to focus our attention on the mental health issues that are the root cause of these terrible tragedies. Make sure that, you know, as we continue to understand what happened in this case, make sure that the sheriffs have the tools that they need to investigate, you know, people who, if somebody's parents call and say, we're worried about our son or our daughter, that they might be a danger, we need to make sure that our law enforcement and our mental health professionals have the tools they need to really investigate this. You know, again, we all want to end these tragedies. It's very convenient just to add another gun law, but adding gun laws on me is not going to stop these terrible tragedies, and we need to focus our attention on the root cause, which are mental health issues.
You mentioned a while ago the California economy and regulations. California is in quite a rivalry right now when it comes to economic development with the state of Texas. The announced move of Toyota from Irvine to Texas is just the latest in those sorts of moves. Tesla right now is also looking for a new location to build its quote-unquote gigafactory. There's talk, though, that California makes it difficult to do that because of the California Environmental Quality Act and the length of time that's needed to analyze the environmental impacts of these sorts of things. The state passes an environmental impact report exemption for a new basketball arena or a new football stadium. But when it comes to economic development, what would your administration do? Is CEQA on the table, looking at how California regulates these big operations? Because this is something that both Democrats and Republicans have looked at but have been unsuccessful so far in coming up with any solution.
Well, you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. In fact, in my jobs plan, I specifically make that point. Jerry Brown knows that CEQA stymies development, and so when it's time to build a new basketball arena, he gives them a special treatment. Well, my plan says, okay, Governor Brown, you've come up with this special treatment. If that's good enough for your pet projects, why isn't that good enough for all Californians and all California businesses? So I literally take Governor Brown's expedited review, and I bring that statewide so that all of our businesses and all of our people can benefit from that. If we rein in regulation, we can grow our economy and put people back to work. We need to look at all of these policies through the lens of what does it mean for middle-class families. Today, almost 17% of Californians either have no job or stuck in a part-time job. We're near the bottom in the country. That's not nearly good enough. And if we reform our regulations, not get rid of all of them, but streamline them, we can bring jobs to California. We can put people back to work, which will make our budget so much stronger because we're going to move people from welfare to good jobs where they're paying taxes. We're all going to be better off. We have to do this.
One last question before we go. The issue of fracking is one of the most contentious in Sacramento right now. It's a big issue here in the Central Valley as Kern County is the state's leading oil producer. There's going to be a rally in Taft later this week in support of the oil industry and of fracking. So this is something that a lot of people have concerns about. You talk to farmers in Shafter, and they're very concerned about their groundwater being potentially polluted by fracking operations. Do you where do you stand on that, and do you support the current regulatory scheme that was passed into law last year in terms of tightening regulations but stopping short of a moratorium? What are your views on fracking?
Yeah, fracking has been around for decades and has been done safely for decades in California and around the country. There are a lot of environmental alarmists who are scared, you know, creating scare tactics, just to spook people because they want to stop all development, and I don't agree with them. Texas's oil production is up almost 80% in the last 3 years. North Dakota, 100%. California, 3%. We could literally create hundreds of thousands of good jobs and billions of dollars of additional tax revenue, and we need to do this, and we can do it in an environmentally sustainable manner. It's not a choice of either or. We can protect the environment while creating these jobs, and we have to do it to put Californians back to work.
We've been talking with Neel Kashkari, Republican candidate for governor. Neel, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment on Valley Edition and find out why some California progressives are less than satisfied with California Governor Jerry Brown in this election season. That's coming up next on Valley Edition.